It's just Marina. Rav Shlita, well, in the past, when it comes to the days of Pesach, we've discussed the Haggadah a few times and other aspects of Pesach, but we've never actually discussed the four cups as a subject of its own. And there's a mixture of Halacha and Haggadah, which we'll explore. There are some interesting questions which can be raised if you wish say the night. Halachic ones, the most famous one is perhaps, do you have to drink alcoholic wine or can you drink grape juice? Then the question, why four cups or why wine if it's going to be to commemorate with a number four? So we'll have a look at some of this. I'll start off with a little story that happened to me, that a neighbor of mine once came to my door on Seder night and he said, I need your help. I need extra wine. So I said, yeah, no problem. So I went up to the box where we had some Kedem and grape juice and I said, here you are, how many bottles do you want? Oh, no, no, he said, not grape juice, I mean proper wine. Oh, okay, right. So go to the top cupboard where we had a few of those. I said, what happens? He said, well, I bought plenty of grape juice, but my sons, Yeshiva Brochim, have come back and they said, no, no, for us, grape juice not kosher enough anymore. We want proper intoxicating wine. Well, I'm sure he had to carry them all up to bed after that. But what is the situation? When we say four cups of wine, do we mean wine as in terms of alcoholic wine, or do we mean grape juice? Certainly we know from the Gemara in Bava Basra, Tzadi Zayin of a base, and in Orach Chaim Reishayim base, that when it comes to Shabbos, you can use what emits from the grapes, a sonic which was freshly squeezed before Shabbos, of course, and that is kosher for Kiddush. So that is inferring that you can use grape juice. On the other hand, is the four cups the same din as Kiddush? Surely it may be something different. What is the issue here? Now, it's apparently the fact that originally grape juice would have only been possible when the grapes were harvested, which is in the autumn, and it wouldn't keep as grape juice until Pesach. So this question has really only come about in the 20th and 21st centuries as to whether you can use grape juice for the four cups of wine. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein is recorded as in his son's Haggadah, Rav David Feinstein, Kol Dodi, in section 3, paragraph 8, saying that if you drink grape juice for your four cups, you might be miyotza your mitzvah of drinking four cups of wine, but you are not miyotza the mitzvah of chairus, of feeling freedom. And a similar view is projected by Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in his Mikroi Kodesh, in his volume number 2, chapter 35, saying that in order to fulfill your duty properly on Seder night, you should be drinking alcoholic wine. Now, I see one or two worried looks on faces as I go around the table, because certainly some of us, me included, I just drink half a cup of the intoxicating stuff, and I'm flat out. Well, what does one do? Well, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik actually said, well, you should drink whatever you enjoy. And if you drink whatever you enjoy, that can surely include grape juice if that's what you enjoy. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who is a very well-known posik, the son of the Stipler God, he quoted the Chazon Ish as having drunk grape juice on Seder night. So there's a source for you if you're worried about not getting drunk. Rav Sternbuch in his Modim Uzmanim in Chelek Beis, and Reish Mem Gimel, he says that the Chabina Rov, who was the great posek of his time, drank grape juice on Seder night. So there you've got some differences of opinion. So where does this machlokus really come from? Well, the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kuf Ches on the base, talks about undiluted wine. Because originally it was the fact that wine was so, so strong that you had to dilute it as a proportion of 1 to 3. And that created the correct form of wine. And so if you have this form of undiluted wine, you are yotzu b'mitzvah, but you haven't got chairus because it's so hard to drink. And therefore, from that, you get this machlokas approaching. The Rashbam says that wine has to be called choshuv. It's got to be something which is important. And there is the view that grape juice is not something called choshuv. Just like you drink apple juice and orange juice, so you can drink grape juice, it might not have the same chashivus, importance, as proper wine. Whereas proper wine, on the other hand, you can say, well, if I drink grape juice, I make a special bracha, I make Bera Pri Hagofen. So Rav de Rashbam, he lived in France in the 12th century, and he is referring, he says that only the wine in Talmudic times required this dilution, as it were. So the view of Rav Moshe Feinstein is that grape juice is not choshuv. It's not something considered important. And on the other hand, Rav Soloveitchik is saying grape juice is choshuv. If you can't manage alcohol, if in your eyes, in your personal eyes, it's something which you can't cope with when it's intoxicating, therefore, grape juice is choshuv. So that's where you get the differences of opinion. Okay, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, it is inferred that even grape juice is okay if your health demands it and you're unable to take proper wine. And this comes out from where he writes in Orach Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Kufayin Beis. So, as Rav Soloveitchik is saying, it's what you personally like. Bit of the Gavron Chesta here, where he's saying it goes according to you personally, whereas Rav Moshe is saying how we perceive wine and not how we perceive yourself and your own attitude. And there is a proof brought to support Rav Moshe Feinstein, and that is there's a Gemara about Rabbi Yona who had a headache from drinking his wine, and this headache lasted till Shavuos. And it also talks about Rabbi Huda ben Rav Chai, who had headaches from the wine he drank on Pesach lasting right through till Sukkot. Can you imagine? For half a year. Well, according to that then, if they had headaches, it proved that you had to have intoxicating wine. Because if they suffered so much from headaches, then why didn't they just go and buy a Kenim grape juice? Ah, that's the other argument. This is, Rav Willig writes this, he says that if grape juice wasn't available in those days, you couldn't get hold of it. So what sort of argument is that about Rabbi Yona and Rabbi Huda having headaches? They had nothing else. Whereas now, we've got an alternative.
How about watering down the wine?
Yeah.
Well, there is the danger that if you water down the wine so much, then it won't be proper wine anymore. I once heard a story of Elio Kitov, who was well known for writing the Sefer HaTodah, who was heavily critical of certain Jerusalem wines which were heavily diluted. And he once stood up drinking one of them, and very loudly on the microphone he said, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nieh Bidvaro. So that became something controversial. Yeah, dilution can be a problem if it's too much, certainly.
What grape juice is made from grapes?
Well, grape juice is mitzanavim. It's squeezed out from grapes. It has a din of wine in terms of the bracha. It's got in Hilchas Shabbos a din that there's an issur d'oraisa to squeeze grapes, because grapes are just like olives, are made for their oil or produced for their oil. So grapes is produced for the wine, and there is an issur d'oraisa in the squeezing. Whereas squeezing other fruits on Shabbos, although we don't do it, it's an issur d'rabbanon. So yes, there is a certain kind of chashivas, but since the whole idea of wine is that it's something normally intoxicating, mitzanavim, grape juice does not fulfill that.
Matured
wine is what is intoxicating and gives it the din of choshuv, of chashivas. Certainly, the question of chama medina can also come up, but everyone agrees that you can make kiddush and abdallah over grape juice, although some are particular not to. And nevertheless, the din of wine on Seder night is not simply the din of drinking four cups, but do you get the tam cheirus, what is called freedom? Well, this is the problem. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says that the yayin is samach levavenosh. The idea of wine is that it makes a person happy. So on Yom Tov we're happy because we got freedom. On Pesach we're celebrating our geula from Egypt, and therefore we should have a feeling of happiness. So when a person drinks intoxicating wine, he gets this feeling of happiness. Even if he's not tipsy or drunk, he should get this feeling of joy, which is the whole objective of the Seder night. Whereas when you drink grape juice, you get that feeling of mesameach. Right?
But so, there's other ways to bring some out because of Yom Tov.
Okay, we will have meat and wine and so on. There's a story of Rav Chaim Volozhin, of somebody came to him and asked him, may I be yotza my din of four cups with milk? And he immediately raised money for this fellow, not just to buy his wine, but also all the necessary foods, including meat, for the Seder night. And somebody asked him, Rebbe, why did you have to give him all this? He said, look, if he asked me if he can drink milk, it means he hasn't got enough money to buy food. He hasn't got enough money to buy meat, because if he's going to drink milk for his fourth cup, then obviously he wasn't eating meat during his meal. Unless you're a vegetarian, but if you have the idea of simcha and you normally eat meat, then one should eat meat on Yom Tov. So therefore, since this person was asking the question about drinking milk, he realized this person didn't have any money to buy food for his Seder night of the kinds which make one sameach. So therefore he collected money for him, not just for his four cups of wine, but for his whole cost of his sedorim.
So sometimes wine will actually affect the person. In other words, they have a reaction to wine.
Reaction in terms of?
A reaction of the face going red, the stomach burning, that sort of thing.
Yeah, the Rashbam brings the Psochim Kufches, which says that the purpose of the four cups is to make a person feel happy. And you're going to feel happy if, yeah, all right, you get red in the face, you become more joyful, it gives you a high. Okay, a legal drug, so to speak. So, what's the situation? Certainly, when it was put to Rav David Feinstein, the son of Rav Moshe Feinstein, about the idea that you have to have intoxicating wine, and it was put to him that originally they quoted from Mr. Feivish Herzog, who was the founder of Kedem Wines, and he said that it was the fact that grape juice simply wasn't available in former times because it was outside the harvesting season. So Rav David Feinstein conceded that fact, but he insisted nevertheless that since grape juice is not considered choshuv, sufficiently important, he would still want people to drink intoxicating wine. Well, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, what he did was he added some drops of intoxicating wine to his grape juice. Now you might say, well, is adding a few drops enough? Because if you mix up, like forbidden foods, there's a din of Bosel B'Shishim of 1/60th, you know, if he's just adding a few drops, which is probably less than 1/60th, does then it make any difference? Well, the whole idea of the 1/60th with Hilchos Taruvos, we say Tam Ke'ikah D'Oraisa. The whole idea min HaTorah of whether something is bottle, is nullified in something else, is whether you can still detect the taste. So the view of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was like, put in a few drops of intoxicating wine, I will feel the taste of it good enough, and that is what many people do. And that seems to bridge the different views as to what one does in order to satisfy oneself. It is a fact nowadays that we have on the market, without me wishing to advertise any specific brands, but you can get very low alcohol rates, like Bar Tanura do a 5% alcohol. Kedem do as well. Thank you very much. Right. So the Bar Tanura one takes more like lemonade, I think, than mine. But
Kedem, you better be careful because it's not bushel.
Right, Kedem wine is not mavushal. Well, some people are very particular to drink wine which is not mavushal, because that was the wine which was used on the Mizbeach. But, yeah, if you drink wine which is not mavushal, then beware of where that wine is being placed when you've got cleaners around. Certainly it's a fact that when you buy wine nowadays, even grape juice, it says on it, for sacramental purposes only, which might give it some sort of chashivus, but apparently the only reason for that is to avoid having to pay customs tax, because it was discovered that wine being used for the churches was getting out of tax, so why shouldn't we benefit from the same exemption ourselves? So that would not make the halachic issue different. So really, the whole idea of this wine grape juice debate is not fully resolved, but you've got the different opinions giving these different resolutions, and it's really a debate between what you enjoy and what is chayrus, and is chayrus something which you enjoy, or is it something else?
If you, after two cups before the meal, first become intoxicated, they aren't able to finish the play them because they're drunk. That's no good, is it?
No, that's no good, certainly.
I think people should practice all year round drinking lots of wine.
Oh, yeah. So the Rav Levi idea is that drink the whole year round, the man's hisko is the only taste common with shrine, is the mitzvah which applies the whole year round. And so in order to get to Seder night, you get used to intoxicating yourself. There is a danger, though, of becoming an alcohol addict. Certainly, if one is worried about this opinion, one could do a mix of half-half or something like that. But each person really has to do according to his own attitude and ability, and that way, and it applies to women as well, this idea that they should, even though they don't lean on Seder night, they should feel tam cheirus. And I've heard Rabbonim saying that women should also be drinking wine with an alcoholic taste as well. And that can be obviously very difficult for some of us whose heads start spinning after just a tiny amount.
On the other hand, if the people who can't take wine and have a problem with grape juice, they can be the grape juice can be watered down quite considerably.
Can it?
As per halacha from
right.
Later, Rav Kupa and so on.
Oh, all right. It's just we don't necessarily know what the proportions are and how much.
50% then.
50%. Right. Okay. Well. Yes. We've got a comment. Yes. No. Okay. I'll carry on. There is an interesting question I came across. What if a person hasn't got enough money for wine and matzah? Certainly, we have kimcha defischa, and people should seek help, because the Rambam makes it clear, and other poskim make it clear, that if you don't have enough money for four cups, one should even be chozel apsochim, one should even go begging, or mochek asuso, selling one's clothes. And there are very few mitzvahs where we find that, because normally, when you do a mitzvah saseh, if you haven't got the money to pay for it, then you're honest drachmono patre, then you're freed from the obligation. For example, if you haven't got money to buy tzitzis, if you haven't got money to buy tefillin, obviously you've got a mitzvah to do so. You know, you might borrow it, you might buy it, you won't steal it, but if you haven't got the money, you're onus. But when it comes to, there are really three mitzvahs where it says one should even be chozel apsochim, to go knocking on the door. One is the four cups of wine, the other is ner shabbos, and which is important for Shalom Bayis as well as Oneg Shabbos, and the other one is Ner Chanukah. So the idea of Ner Chanukah and the four cups is Parsumei Nisa, you're publicizing a miracle. Alright, Ner Chanukah is you're publicizing to everybody outside, but there is a Parsumei Nisa with wine as well, in that the Parsumei Nisa is to the family, to everybody around the table, even if it's not to the public outside. So the question is, what if you only got enough money for wine or for matzah, not for both, which do you do? So you might say to me, oh, well, obviously matzah must be more important, because matzah is daraisa. The Torah says, you eat matzah, bo'er of tochru matzos. It doesn't say anything about wine. The din of four cups is a din drabonon. So you say, well, if I've got a choice between a din minatorah and a din drabonon, then obviously I'll choose the din minatorah. But that's a v'chitemo. It's not the case. Surprisingly, as a chiddush from a sefer called Pardes Yosef, who brings from the Shalos Shuvas Mishnas Yosef, Chelet Yud, Simon Pei Gimel, and he says that's not the case. In the case of matzah, it's like a din mitzvah sasei, and from mitzvah sasei, you should be prepared to sell up to one-fifth of your possessions, and that's it. After that, it's onus drachmon apatre. And this is the din of Tov Reisha involved, of selling a fifth of your possessions. But with a din of four cups, it's a din of Pasumei Nisa, where we say Moche Kususo, where you sell your clothes, or Chozal Apsochim, where you have to go begging, and it doesn't say that by matzah, it says it by wine. And therefore, if you haven't got enough money for both, and you've exhausted all opportunity for begging and selling your clothes without at least having one thing left on your chest, then the preference is for the wine and not for the matzah. An amazing chiddush. So that is that you can bring to halacha l'maisa, but it's something worth bringing out on Seder night.
Who did you say said that?
Right, this is a sefer called Pardes Yosef, which I have downstairs if you want to see it, and he brings it from the Shalos Shuvas Mishnas Yosef, Chelet Yud, Simon Pei Gimel, I might have said Samach Gimel. Quite a remarkable chiddush. So those are a couple of halachas, but if we just deal with a bit of the philosophy,
would that not also be true for Friday night? You didn't have enough to tide off the wine.
Ah, it's interesting. It's true that Kiddush Tiknu al Hayayin, but it's different on Friday night because the Ikka Kiddush Midaraisa you've already done in your davening when you said Mekadesh HaShabbos. So the Ikka Kiddush you've already done, and you can, Bizi Eved, make Kiddush on Chalas on Friday night. And on Shabbos morning, Bizi Eved, you can make Kiddush on Chama Medino.
And it's not Pirsumei Nisa.
And there's not a din of Pirsumei Nisa. Although we talk about Zeicher Lamasa Bereishis or Zeicher Yitzias Mitzrayim, so you might say there is a shtickel sort of Pirsumei Nisa on Friday night, and we stand up for the beginning of Kiddush or some the whole of Kiddush because we're Aiden for Maisa Bereishis. We are witnesses declaring our faith, etc. So you could argue, but we don't call that a din of Pirsumei Nisa like we do in Ner Chanukah or Dalet Kosis. It's not quite the same category, but it's an interesting point. But as I say, people who have allergies to wine, I do have some personal problem with wine and the reactions I get from it. But with Kiddush, you can get somebody else to drink for you and the Yotza. But if you haven't got wine, you can make Friday night over the Chalas. And Chama Medino, whiskey, other... the question about Chama Medino is, what does it include? I remember Rabbi Cooper Zatzal quoted to me once the Minchas Shabbos, which says that Chama Medino only includes intoxicating beverages, like liqueurs, where some will hold it can include coffee, tea, and any drink you might serve, which is choshev to serve to a guest, and it's not merely to quench one's thirst. But it's a question also for Havdalah, you know, can you make Havdalah over milk or orange juice? And that's another subject. So why four? We said four cups of wine. What's the most famous answer is the Yerushalmi in Perek Yud, Halacha Aleph. There are four expressions of Geula. Vehatzeisi, Vehitzalti, Vegaalti, Velokachti. So there at the beginning of Vo'eiro, we got Vehatzeisi Eschem Mitzachaf Sivlos Mitzrayim. Hashem says, I'll bring you out from the burdens of Egypt. Vehitzalti Eschem, and I will save you, Me'avod Asom, from the Avdus. Vegaalti Eschem, I will redeem you. Velokachti Lila'om, and I will take you to me as a people. So those are the four expressions. And the Maharal spends a lot of time on this, also the Kli Yochel, because really we've got here expressions which originate from the dialogue between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avraham Avinu. He said, Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, Yodah Teda, in Parshas Lech Lecha, you shall surely know, Ki Ger Yiyazarecha Be'eretz Lolohem, your future generations will become strangers in a land, Va'avodim, they will become enslaved, the Inrosom, and they will be inflicted. So the Kli... They'll be
not inflicted, afflicted.
Afflicted, all right.
Okay, right.
I stand corrected. So then you've got those three expressions of Geula. So the Kli Yochel says that the worst one is taken away first. So it's about Seisiasem, Mitachas, Sivlos Mitzrayim. Sivlos is the Lashon of Inoy. So, you know, being a stranger is a bad thing. Being a slave is a bad thing. But having the infliction, having the Inoy, that is the worst thing of all. So that's the first thing Hashem removes. The next worst thing which Hashem takes away is v'itzalti eschem me'avod asom, because the slavery is the next worst thing. And then after that, being the stranger, v'go'alti eschem ge'ula is the expression used for redeeming strangers. And then once Hashem has removed those three things, v'lokachti li'lom, Hashem says, I can take you to me as a people. Because you can't keep the Torah and mitzvahs while you're in those first three categories. So once we've removed them, then I can bring you to me. And those expressions Rav here shows are indeed highlighted in the 10 plagues as Midah Keneged Midah. Rav here draws a column of Dom Tzvadei Akinim, Orav Devashchim, Borod Abe Choshech, with Makas Pacharos as a unifying one at the end, and he's got them under the themes of Geirus, Avdus, and Inoy.
He did a share on that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I've repeated myself.
Yeah.
All right. What a compliment it is. People remember what I say. So, without going into too much detail in a Rav Hirsch, the Dom and Orov and the Borod come under Geirus because you feel like a stranger in your own land, and a similar pattern, Tzfadea, Dever, Arbe, come under Avdus, and Inoy the other three. So that's Rav Hirsch, and the Maharal emphasizes that why we have the four cups is because of these four Lashonos of Geula. However, there is another opinion that the four Lashonos of Geula come from something else, because Rashi, in Gemara Pesach and Sadi Tes, he does refer to the four expressions, but later on in Daf Kufches, he refers to something else. He refers to the cups of Paro. Remember the dream of the butler interpreting to Yosef dreams, not Paro's dream, but the butler's dream. And he's talking about the cup of Paro, and there he's talking in the dream about the cup of Paro three times. The expression of coast, the coast Paro B.O.D., Voischat Osom al coast Paro, Voitena es hakos al kaf Paro, chapter 40, verses 11 to 13. And then, in the interpretation which Yosef gives to the butler, Venosata coast Paro B.O.D.O. So you've got there the coast Paro four times. So what is there going on with Rashi? Is there some contradiction? Some ask on Rashi. In one place he talks about the four Lashonos of Geula, and it's supposed to say he's supposed to be Altu Lukachti. But then in another place he talks about the four expressions of the Kos Paro. So what is the reason why Rashi suddenly changes track? What's going on here? So there are answers which you can give. Well, different opinions. Rashi gives one opinion and another opinion. But the idea is, the first opinion is that you've got the four expressions. The four expressions of Otetim in Chazal to Begal to Lokakti. So we've got Chazal instituting the idea of four. Whereas in the second Gemara Rashi's talking about, he's bringing the idea of wine, because you don't get the idea of wine coming out of Otetim in Chazal to Begal to Lokakti. Alright, four is a very common idea in the Seder night. And we've got the four questions, we've got these four expressions of Geula, we've got the four sons, we've got the four cups, so we'll deal with that more in a minute. But then you've got no contradiction in Rashi, because we need the idea of four, and we need the idea of the wine. Where do we get the idea of why wine from? Why can't we just have four tomatoes on Seder night? So there comes the idea of wine. Rabbeinu Bechaya writes that the four resembles the four letters of Hashem's name, Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke, which is the name of Hashem dealing with Rachamim, Midas Rachamim, that we came out from Mitzrayim by virtue of Midas Rachamim, because we did not necessarily deserve to be brought out at that time. We were meant to complete 400 years, remember. So with that Midas of Rachamim, and we say in the Agod of Aron Ve'Eriel, we were like naked from Yecheskel Tetzayim, that we didn't really possess enough merit and credit in order to come out. So with Hashem's Midas Rachamim of Yud Kei Vav Kei we came out, and that's why we have four cups. Certainly the idea of the Kos Paro is that the Bnei Yisachar says that the dream which Yosef was interpreting was really the whole start to the whole story of the Geula. Because once Yosef had interpreted the butler's dream, that led to Yosef coming out to his Geula, and Yosef then being the preeminent aspect of the whole Geula Mitzrayim and the Geula which came from it. Some exclude the fourth Kos Paro because they say it's not part of the butler's dream, but it's part of the interpretation. But they say, well, we say three cups plus the benching, because for benching you need a cup. All right, you could say for Kiddush you need a cup. There is the idea also that Paro made four Gezeiros. The Medrash says that Paro decreed four times on Klal Yisrael, Shmos Rabo, Perek Vov, Kafov, and it says Vayamoru Es Chayehem. So there was the decree of Paro to make our lives bitter. In Ben Huva Hamisenlo, so there are really two aspects to the sons. One is simply get rid of the boys, but then afterwards he said that there was a greater emphasis, and then there was another gezerah on the Teven that we had to find our own straw for making the bricks. So the Midrash says that there were four different kinds of gezerahs. So against those gezerahs we've got the four aspects of freedom coming from the four cups of wine. There's another idea which is brought, that we have Arba Imohos. There are four mothers. We have Sora, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And it's bizchus noshim sitkonios nigolim mitzrayim. Some ask the question, why do women have to keep the four cups and the matzah and so on? And it is generally assumed that afhein hoyu ba'osu hanes. Well, they were in the same miracle. We say this by Hanukkah. We say this with Purim. Afhein hoyu ba'osu hanes. But the Magen Avraham says that the principle of them being in the same miracle, we apply for the dinim drabonon, like Hanukkah and Purim. But as far as Seder night is concerned, there is a much more important reason. B'schus noshim sitkonios nigolim mitzrayim. It's not because of us men that we managed to get out of Egypt. We didn't deserve it. But because of the righteous women, we were zocha to be able to come out. So on that, we allude to the Arba'im Mohos, Sora Rivka Rachel Veleah. And Sora was famous for converting women. So we say so she's compared to the cup for the Kiddush, because for the Kiddush we say Asher Bocha Bonu, Hashem chose us. So we are all like Geirim, alluding to Sora Imenu.
They'd all lived before this event. Long before.
They did, but my Seva Simon Labonim, or my Seva Mahos Simon Labonim, so that what was the activities which the Ovos Animos did was something which was influential on the events which happened subsequently for Klal Yisrael. So on the second cup of wine, we've got Rivka. Rivka came from a bias of Avodah Zorah. Mitzchila Ovde Avodah Zorah Hayu Avoseinu. Arami Avidovi. So that is all part of the second cup of wine, which is the Magid of the Haggadah. The third cup for Bechas Hamozon is tied to Rachel Imenu. Rachel gave birth to Yosef, who was instrumental in feeding a whole country, Mazon and Mafarnes. And since that was the case, also Kosyain is the Gematria of Yosef. So Yosef fed the people, and so Rachel Imenu is given the third cup. The fourth cup of wine is the Hallel, and that is tied up to Leah, who said Hapam Ode Es Hashem. She's the first person on record to remark publicly that she's thanking Hashem, because she realized that she was getting more than what she thought would be her ration of the number of Shavuotim when number five was born. Number four was born. Yeah, number four was born, because she knew they were going to be 12, so she thought she would only be allocated 3, and then she had number four. So she said, Hapam Odeth Hashem, when Yehuda was born. Hence Hallel being tied up to Leah. There is also the idea of the Chochom and the Rosha and the Thomas Sheni of the Alisho. I'm not quite sure how, but there is something brought from the Arizal on this to show that the Chochom is tied to the idea of the Kiddush. Well, Kiddush is Kedusha, the Chochom, and the Rosha is tied up to the second cup. Maybe it's because there in the second cup we say Mitchila Ovde Avodah Zorah Hayu Avoseinu. The third cup is the Tom, but I don't understand how he matches the Tom to Berchas Hamozon. And then there's a Shein Adair Lishol. I think for Shein Adair Lishol, he ties it up to the idea of Shafoch HaMoschai LaGoyim. The Shein Adair Lishol, somebody who's a bit lost and not quite sure of direction, and it's again referring to perhaps what we're saying in relation to the fourth cup. But this has a good source. It's from the Arizal. The Vilna Gaon talks about the four different worlds. The Vilna Gaon talks about Olam Hazeh, Yemos HaMashiach, Tzichias HaMesim, and Olam Habo. And so we allude to that. Also, another interesting thing that Gross says is that there are four reasons why we bench Gomel. When you say Asher Gomel, HaGomel HaChayom in Tevesh HaGomalani Kol Tov, HaTakonos Chazal, when you've crossed the sea, or when you've been in the Midbar, or you've been in prison, or if you've been healed from an illness. So the Vilna Gaon says all these four things apply to us on Seder night. We're benching Gomel. Why? Because we cross the Yam Suf, Kriyas Yam Suf, we cross the sea in a most remarkable, dramatic way, more than just in an Al-Al plane. And then the second idea, we've been in a Midbar 40 years, for goodness sake. And not just, I know somebody who was in a Midbar for one day and he benched Gomel afterwards. And afterwards, somebody who's come out of prison, we were like in a prison in Mitzrayim, as we know, Geirus Abdusinu, as we've said. And it says, by Matan Torah, we were healed of all our ailments. That was the remedy for us. So when we sit on Seder night, we're like benching Gomel, And we have the four cups of wine to allude to these four different reasons why one benches go well. Well, that gives us enough reason why...
Well, you can't mention everything, obviously. I mean, there's the four kingdoms, isn't there?
Yeah. I was actually going to conclude with that, because that's where the drama comes. But yes, there is the idea of the four Malchios, when you include Mitzrayim, Modai, Yovon, Edom, or some will say Bovel. There is the idea of the Rashi Tevis, Eilish Shmos Haboim Mitzroimo. Haboim is Rashi Tevis, Bovel, Edom, Yovon, Modai, that's the Chidor. There's another idea in Shmos Space, Chafbeis, Vahib, Bayomim, Horabim, Ohaim. Rabim spells Romi, Bovel, Yovon, Modai. So the idea of the four kingdoms, I'll just come back to that in a moment. We've discussed why the number four, but we didn't discuss so much why. We spoke about Yain Yisamach Levav Enosh. There's an idea of Ein Omrim Shira Ela LaYayin. We're singing Shira Praise Hashem on wine. So that's another reason why we have wine. There is also the idea why we have wine on Shabbos. Why did Chazal v'masachin Kiddush and Abdullah Yayin Zichru Kayein Halavonon is a posuk in Yeshaya, because wine is associated with the idea of remembering. And so on Shabbos we remember Masa Bereishis, we remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, so we have wine for Kiddush, and that's the same idea of having wine for Seder night, because what more are we doing? We're remembering our past in order to bring ourselves forward to the future. So therefore we have wine for the four cups. And as we said, wine makes a person happy. There is another idea, and that is, Chazal say that it's written in Tanakh, Nichnas Yain Yotzah Sod, when you have wine, it brings out secrets. A person who gets drunk starts telling you things which he's not really supposed to be telling you. And we have the mystical ideas on Purim, that why do we talk about drinking wine on Purim? Well, and these happen because of Purim, but it's also the idea of Purim as Yom Kippurim, there's an association, that you can prove yourself worthy. That just like on Yom Kippur you can stand before Hashem behaving yourself like a mensch, so on Purim, that even in spite of drinking wine, you can show yourself to be doing something which is avodas Hashem and not something which is frivolous for you to become tipsy and drunk. So that's the idea of Purim. So what is it on Seder night? You are doing something the Shem Shemayim, and there's an idea that when you drink wine, we said yotzah sod, because you start talking much more. And we want you to talk on Seder night. We want you to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Where else do you get this idea of mitzvah of magid, of sippur, of talking? So then you have the mitzvah of talking much more, and the wine will encourage you to speak about Yetzias Mitzrayim rather than just giving away your secrets and getting drunk. So we've spoken about the Malchios, and the Bnei Yisrael talks about the current Golos we're in, Golos Eden, which is the longest Golos of all, is the one which is like including all the others. And that when the Shiach comes, it will be the remedy for all the different Golos which we've suffered, but all the more so the one we're in at the moment. And even in this Golos, we are awaiting the miracles. And Chazal tell us that the miracles which will happen at the end of this Golos will be even greater than the miracles which happened in Kriyas Yam Suf, Yetzias Mitzrayim generally. So much so that there is a Chazal which is Osid Nibotel Kalamodos Chutz Mipurim Yom HaKippurim, and many ask the question, what does it mean that in future the Moados, the Yom Tovim, will not exist except for Purim Yom Kippur? It doesn't mean they won't exist. We'll still have Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. But what will happen? They will assume new reasons because of the Nisim of the Yomos HaMoshiach. So that the Yom Tovim in the future will be Zeichel Yomos HaMoshiach. And just last week I was at a wedding in Bnei Brak, and I was talking to a friend called Yisrael Marelus, and he was saying to me, do you realize what Nisim we see nowadays? Now, before the time of the Mashiach, in this day and age, well, we started talking about the 67 war and the amazing things which happened then against all odds, and Yom Kippur War and so on. He said, yeah, but since then, he said, don't you realize what we're seeing? And this ties up to the fact that we say in the Haggadah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyodom. Every single generation, the peoples of the world, they want to do away with us. B'chol davadar amdim aleinu lechaloseinu. V'kodesh baruch hu matzileinu miyodom. And Hashem saves us from their hands. We've asked this question once before. What does it mean, miyodom? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu, Hashem saves us. What does it mean, miyodom? As a result of their hands. Because it was Haman who built the gallows on which he himself was hanged. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu miyodom, as a result of their actions, our enemies' actions, we become saved. Maharal says that the Mashiach will be brought up by the enemies of the Jewish people. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu was brought up in Paro's palace. It's part of the divine plan that the enemy is bringing about his own downfall. So he said to me, do you realize what happens now? You've got the left wingers in Israel who want to give away land. The left wingers want to say, we have peace now movement. Give away as much land as we can to the Arabs and that will pacify them. The truth is it doesn't. Look what happened in Gaza. Then you get rocket launcher sites. But he says the peace now people and the left wingers, they want to give away the land, which Hashem has given us miraculously after the Six-Day War. As a result of Nissim, he's given it to us. He doesn't want us to lose it again. So how does Hashem administer the fact that he saves us? Because while there are Jewish people who want to give away land in Eretz Yisrael, it's the Arabs themselves who stop it from happening. Barak sat down with Arafat in the year 2000 at Camp David and offered Arafat 92% plus land swaps. And Arafat said no. Says my friend Yisrael Marelos, that's a nace. He says, it's amazing. You offer them 92% plus land swaps and they turn around and say no. As a result of their illogical actions, we are being saved and we can keep Eretz Yisrael. And again, it happened in 2008 when Ehud Olmert sat down with Abbas. He gave him a near total withdrawal from the West Bank. He said, we'll give up the whole of the old city. And Olmert said to him, it will be at least 50 years before you get such an offer. And the land swaps were 6.3% we would keep of the West Bank. 6.3%, and the land swap was offered of 5.8%, which would have meant that we would have simply been losing 0.5%. Can you believe it? And Abbas said no. Officially, he didn't say no at the time, but it was documented afterwards. You can Google the subject. He admitted, yes, we definitely said no.
We would have only kept,
We would have only kept 0.5%. So he said, look at the amazing things which are happening nowadays. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyodom. Here the Jews want to give away land, but as a result of the Arabs saying no, illogically, Hashem is saving us from the hands. It's an interesting thought when we come to say the night and we're reflecting with all the troublesome times that we have at the moment with Arabs attacking us, that Hashem is protecting us, there is a divine plan, and that we are safer in Eretz Yisrael, it seems, than we are in Europe. And may the Pesach, which we celebrate, bring around a Geula Shalema without any more sorrows from our enemies. Thank you very much. Chakosha v'sameach. Full 5 weeks.
5 weeks. What's the